Well, good morning, church. It's my delight to be with you today. My name is Steve Stegall. I'm one of the pastors here at Eastside Community Church, and I'm honored to get to share God's word with you this morning. I hope that you're encouraged by what you hear. I hope you had a lovely Christmas, just as the Stegall family did, and we're going to continue celebrating throughout the holiday season over the next few days. I hope you are as well. As Luke mentioned earlier, if you're visiting with us today, I just want to point out the obvious that we have all of our children with us today. And I think that's such a privilege for us as we get to really disciple these young ones on what it looks like and what it feels like and what it means to worship the Lord Jesus as a corporate gathering. And one of the things I'm actually talking about today, that the primary theme of my message is just this idea of walking and living in peace, the peace that Christ can provide. And so if you're here and you're feeling uncomfortable that maybe your little ones are getting a little bit anxious or wiggly and making noises, I just want you, parents, to be filled with peace, all right? We love you. We're grateful that you're here. Your kids are here. And if you're here and you don't have children and you're a little frustrated by it, I want you to be filled with peace as well, okay? Today we're going to wrap up our Advent series. Throughout the month of December, we've studied, while we've done the Advent series, we've studied the promises of God that have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We focused on a few specific ones, and today we're going to do the same thing. If you will, grab your Bible or grab your device and turn to Luke chapter 2. I think it's always fun that as we lead up to Christmas, we focus a lot about the birth of Christ and the build-up to the nativity story. And then we often don't get to spend a lot of time thinking about Jesus Christ as a young boy or as a baby. And so I had particular excitement just to preach to you today from Luke chapter 2 as we consider Jesus as a baby. So Luke 2, we're going to read 22 through 32. I'd love to spend more time than that, but we are going to have all we can cover in just those 10 verses there. So read along with me. It says, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem." That's the baby Jesus. His mother and father brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up in his arms and blessed God, and he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" I'll say this is the word of the Lord, and you say, "Thanks be to God." This is the word of the Lord. Y'all, there is so much to unpack from this message. I would love to kind of continue on and just talk about Joseph's response and Mary's response to what Simeon shared with them. I'd love to talk about Anna, the prophetess, and her huge role in this conversation, but there's so much to cover here. I'm going to focus in really on Simeon's message, his response, and what he receives as he meets the child Jesus. A few observations from this passage that we saw there. It says that Simeon is described as a man who is devout and righteous. Think about that. Just in the whole narrative of the Bible, the whole scripture, Simeon had a very small segment, but his legacy is one of righteousness and devotion to the Lord, godliness. This is a man who lives an honorable life and is faithful to the scriptures and is consistent in his worship of God. It says Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This means that Simeon was anticipating the arrival of the promised one, the arrival of the Messiah. Just as the Israelites had done for centuries, Simeon was continuing to patiently wait on the arrival of the promised one. Three times in Luke 2, the writer Luke refers to Simeon's relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of cool to think about it this way, but some of us who, if you've been in the Acts Bible study with us at church, you've learned that the Holy Spirit is present throughout all of human history, all of eternity past, eternity future. He didn't just arrive at Pentecost. And so here, the Holy Spirit has an interaction with Simeon that is so clear and palpable that he even speaks to him and gives him a promise. So that's what Simeon is holding on to, is this promise that the Holy Spirit has given to him. It says that he is waiting for the Lord's Christ. Simeon is confident in that promise. And then I think about one last observation before we jump into the text. Just think about just the enjoyment that you have, the excitement that you have when you get to hold a brand new baby. I mean, I think about when I've held my own children and just the enjoyment of holding a brand new child. And even when I've held some of your babies as they've been newborns, that's such an honor, such a privilege to hold a brand new child. Can you imagine the excitement of Simeon, who's getting to hold, who he knows is the Savior of the world? Simeon. Not many people get to claim that, right? Simeon got to hold the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. The excitement that would come from that, the joy that might come from that. What a divine privilege that he got to experience in holding Jesus in his arms as a child. Now, as he held Jesus in his arms, Simeon offered up a psalm of praise, a hymn of thanksgiving. And that's kind of where we're going to spend a majority of our time today, just looking at Simeon's response as he met and held the Savior of the world. Look back at verse 29. It says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." He is seeing salvation in the flesh. He's holding him in his hands. Salvation personified in Jesus Christ. "That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now, as far as we know, these are the first words of Simeon after meeting and holding the child Jesus. And after a lifetime of righteousness, after a lifetime of devotion to God and faithfully, patiently waiting on the Lord to provide the promised Messiah, Simeon is overwhelmed by a spirit of peace. He's overcome by peace. That's what he says with his own words. Now, joy, sure. Excitement, absolutely. Contentment and all those things. I'm sure he had a flood of emotions that he was experiencing. But the primary emotion that he confesses is one of peace. Simeon was so completely filled with peace that he said that he was content to depart from this life. Peace overcame him so powerfully that he was ready to go and be with the Lord and bypass the rest of his earthly life. That's powerful. That's a significant emotional response to meeting the Savior. Meeting and holding the Savior of the world stirred up a spirit of peace in Simeon. And the prophets foretold that the Redeemer, the Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Chosen One, would provide peace for the troubled soul and provide peace for the troubled world. That was true for Simeon. He experienced it. That's how God described the Messiah through the prophet Isaiah. You guys are familiar with this scripture. We look at it a lot during Christmas time, but in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, the scriptures say, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. Thank you, Eli. "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." That's how the Messiah is described by Isaiah. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the Prince of Peace that Simeon was waiting for. And as the Prince of Peace, Jesus is the ruler of peace. He is the authority over peace. He is the personification of peace. He is the peace. He is peace in the flesh. And in his kingdom, there will be no end to the increase of peace. I love that. I love thinking about that. He is the primary agent of peace in all of creation. And without Jesus, there would be no true peace on earth or in your own hearts. He is our peace. Isaiah 53:5 puts it this way. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Jesus brings peace through his death. Through his work on the cross, peace comes to a weary world. Simeon believed these promises of God, and he saw those promises fulfilled as he held the Prince of Peace in his very arms. Simeon declares that according to God's word, that he can now depart in peace. The promise that we're focusing on today, obviously, is that God promises peace and Jesus fulfills that promise. Simeon's response, of course, is sincere and godly. He's patient and filled with peace upon the meeting his Savior. I aspire to be that kind of man. I know each of you probably aspire to be peace-filled and patient and calm when you're waiting on something that you think you deserve or that you've long awaited for. I know in my own heart sometimes I get really entitled when I think I deserve something or I've been waiting for something. Simeon was promised that the chosen one, that the Lord's Christ would be present before he died. So he was anxiously waiting. Well, I know in my own heart when I get frustrated, I lose my patience and I stop walking in peace. 6 months ago, I had a really terrible encounter where I met the threshold of my patience and met the threshold of my peace. Kathy knows this to be true. She watched me as I lost my cool. But we ordered up supper to be delivered to our home from a great pizza place, right? A local pizza place that we can trust is going to do a good job and deliver pizza on time. And I kept my patience for 30 minutes or so. The pizza had not arrived. Well, I held out for another 30 minutes. It had been 60 minutes since I ordered my meal, and the pizza had not yet arrived. I was still being patient. I was still being filled with peace. But after 90 minutes of the pizza not arriving, I had lost all patience, and I had lost all peace. And so I decided to call said pizza establishment to let them know of my frustrations. Well, as I called this pizza place, the manager was none too pleased with my concerns, and he let me know that he wasn't too concerned about sending me pizza on time. And so all I got was an earful from him and cold pizza. All right, so pizza showed up a little bit later. I was frustrated. I was not happy. And consequently, I've spent the last 6 months trying to topple this pizza giant with all of my efforts. And I won't tell you who it was, but it rhymes with Papa Yawns. And so in that moment, that was 90 minutes. I could not stay patient. I could not stay calm. I could not be filled with peace. Meanwhile, Simeon waits an entire lifetime for something that's much more significant than pizza, and he remains completely patient and filled with peace. The Lord does this to our hearts. When he met the Lord Jesus himself, he was completely filled with peace. Simeon would have been completely relatable had he said, "Lord, what's the holdup? What are you waiting for, Lord?" Or when Jesus arrived, had he said, "Hey, it's about time. I've been waiting. I've been patient. Israel has been waiting for centuries, Lord." But instead, he responds with complete peace and gratitude in his heart. That's what Jesus does to the heart of man. He has the ability to wipe away all of those inner conflicts in our heart, all of the sin that easily entangles us, where the enemy, where Satan wants to stir up dissension and strife and frustration and bitterness and entitlement. That's what Satan wants to sow in your heart. Jesus sows peace. Amen? That's what he does. He brings peace to the weary soul. And Simeon experienced that himself. We know that Jesus told us that this is what he does. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." For those who desire peace, Christ extends an invitation to come to him. He will give you rest for your weary and burdened heart. God promises peace, and Jesus delivers it. Come to me. I love the invitation of Christ there. If you're here today, and you're desperate and hungry for peace in your own soul, Jesus says, "Come to me." That message is to you. It's not a generality. He's speaking to you. Come to me if you desire peace. Just as we heard earlier, Stephanie, thank you for reading from Ephesians 2. That is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Just as we heard from Ephesians 2 at the beginning of the service, Jesus himself is our peace. He is our peace. He breaks down the dividing wall of hostility that exists between man and God. Because of our broken world, because of our sinful nature, we have rebelled against God. There is a wall of hostility that existed before Christ came. When Christ came, he broke down that wall that peace might exist between us and our Heavenly Father. He is a peacemaker, and he restored our relationship with our Heavenly Father by his life and death on the cross. He made peace with God and us. Furthermore, Ephesians 2 teaches us that we can be reconciled to fellow man because of the dividing wall of hostility that's been broken down between God, man and mankind because of what Jesus did on the cross. We, as followers of Christ, can be filled with peace, and we can love those that the world expects us to hate. That's only possible through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes peace between man and man. The promise of peace in Christ is a comfort for the believer. That ought to comfort your heart. Peace comes with knowing Christ, intimacy with Christ. Peace is a byproduct of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. It can be especially important to cling to these promises and that truth during the holidays. Some of us, I know that during the holiday season, you've probably gathered with your family, your mom and dad, or your in-laws, your cousins, people that you don't normally see throughout the rest of the year, you'll gather with throughout Christmas time and the holiday season. And all sorts of tensions can reveal themselves. Long-standing wounds kind of are resurrected during those Christmas gatherings. I know you guys can understand what I'm talking about, but these things tend to resurface and get re-aggravated during Christmas time. And you remember all of those frustrations that your mom or your dad or your brother-in-law or sister-in-law or whoever has done to you, all those things are stirred back up in your heart. And it can be really possible that during Christmas time, there is an absence of peace in your heart because you're anxious about time with family. It's hard. It's tough. And oftentimes, I think we can convince ourselves, and this is a lie that we try to tell ourselves, that if that person or those people would simply ask for forgiveness, or if those people, if my dad would stop treating me the way he treated me, or if my sister-in-law would stop doing the things that she's done to me, then we might be reconciled and I might have peace in my heart. There's a lie that if they would just do right, if we could just figure this thing out, then I will be restored and walk in settlement of my heart and all the conflict will wipe away. Similarly, I know that Christmas time can be very difficult for a lot of us who aspire to have maybe a different family structure, especially those that aspire to have a spouse or those that aspire to have a child or multiple children. It can be tough during this time of the year when many families look like they've got it all together and you might be envious of what they have. Sometimes we might have some inner conflict or disappointment or frustration about what the Lord hasn't given us. And the lie that you might be believing, if you're in that stage of life, you might be believing that if you had a spouse, if only I had a spouse, my heart would be content. If only I had children or multiple children, I would be at peace, and the conflict that is within me would dissipate. Though you may long for something tangible to relieve that conflict in your heart, I assure you that Jesus is the only one who can ultimately bring you peace. Not a spouse, not a child, not reconciliation with your father-in-law or your mother-in-law, not the presence of your dad or your mom at Christmas time. Only Jesus can provide you the peace that you need and you so desperately long for. Whatever longing you have in your heart that you think relationships are going to satisfy, Jesus is the one that satisfies that longing. Only Christ can bring you peace. Simeon knew this to be true. The lifetime of waiting and watching and faithfully hoping in the provision of the Lord's Christ was all worth it when he finally met Jesus himself. Knowing Jesus as his Savior brought everlasting peace to the man of righteousness, Simeon. Now, just as he began a relationship with Christ at that moment and had peace, we too have the opportunity to, through our relationship with Christ, have inner peace, have peace with the Lord, have peace with fellow man, have peace inside of our own hearts. And it's oftentimes, although we have this access to peace and we're filled with peace, we can often fall back into the sinful nature that we always have. So whenever I wrestle with anxiety, I wrestle with fear, and I wrestle with frustration or fear of man, and these types of things are common in my own heart, I have to revert back to what the scriptures tell me. have to turn to Jesus, who is our source of peace. I know many of you are familiar with this scripture. It's one of my favorite in the whole Bible. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I have to recite this to myself all the time, and I hope you might too. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. I have to be reminded of that all the time. Because when I grow frustrated or anxious, even thinking about, y'all forgive me for telling you this, even thinking about preaching today can stir up anxiety in my heart and fear and sleeplessness. And so I have to just preach to myself, Lord, give me peace. Lord, would you help me? Letting my request be made known to God that he might give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that surpasses all understanding, that means it is inexplicable. It's hard to understand for the common man how a person can walk in this level of peace. I'm not saying that I do it perfectly, but I know that I can turn to him that he might provide that peace generously. So be quick to turn to the Lord when you find yourself frustrated or angry or fearful. And when you are walking in the peace of Christ as a follower of God, you will have the ability. I'm not saying you'll do this perfectly. You'll have the ability that when things get difficult in your life and things are crushing in your spirit and things don't go the way you expected them to, you'll have the ability to walk through those things with a level of peace that will baffle the watching world. You got the Spirit of Christ in you, the peace of Christ living inside of you, and things go haywire in your life, and you continue to walk in steadiness and godliness and patience and peace, that's uncommon, and it stands out to the watching world. I've been fortunate to be able to watch this in my own home. You know, as I watch my sweet wife, Kathy, all the heartbreak that we've endured together with our daughter, Lily, just the way that she has been able to walk in peace. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt and that we don't suffer and have heartbreak daily, but the amount of peace and steadiness in my wife's heart because of the peace that's in her, because of Jesus Christ, it's uncommon. It's inexplicable. And that's what the Lord Jesus can do in your heart, in my heart, and I think that's such a generous gift that the Lord gives us. If it were not for the Lord Jesus living in my heart and in Kathy's heart, we would be utterly crushed by what we've been through. But he has sustained us with the peace that he can provide. That's available to all of us. Now, if you're here today and you hear me talk about this peace, and it seems completely foreign to you, it seems far from you, unattainable or not present in your own life, maybe you've never tasted or experienced the peace of Christ in your own life, I just want to remind you of what Jesus said. Come to me. That's his invitation to you. If you know you have this inner turmoil and this conflict in your own soul, and you desire to have the peace that only Christ can provide, Jesus says, come to me. Those of you who are wrestling with all kinds of background or baggage, you think that the Lord won't accept you. Adam preached about this last week. He will accept you. You come to him with a humble heart and a contrite heart and a desire to have him as your Lord and Savior. He will receive you and he will give you peace, everlasting. That's what Christ does. It's available to you. So if you're here today and you think this isn't for you, Jesus says, come to me. It is for you. He is our peace and he's available to you. And for my brothers and sisters who are in Christ, let us aspire to be like Simeon and be marked by a spirit of peace. When we fall short and struggle with anxiety or disappointment and frustration, hostility in our own heart towards fellow man, let us be quick to ask the Lord to provide peace like only he can. Let us strive to be peacemakers and peace seekers, both with God and with fellow man. Though peace is surely something we should desire, let's not get confused about what our ultimate pursuit really is. Peace is simply a byproduct of intimacy with Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our desire. Our relationship with Jesus ought to be the forefront of everything you do. Don't walk out of here today saying, I need to chase after peace. No, you need to chase after Jesus. Okay, peace will follow. That's the promise of God. And that's what my hope is in today. So relationship with and maturity in Christ, That's what we're after. Peace is simply the byproduct of our ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Commit your life to knowing and treasuring Christ, and peace will surely follow. I know that this is true because that's what God promised. Amen? Amen. Will y'all pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the peace that you provide through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him as a baby and showing us that even Simeon, in his first moments of life, Jesus could provide the provision of the promise of God that we would have peace in Christ. We sure do love you, Lord. I pray that all who are here today might taste and see and experience the peace that only Christ can provide. I pray that those who do not know you would commit their life to you and see and feel this everlasting peace. And for the brother and sister in Christ that are here today, Lord, I pray that you would bolster them by your Spirit. They might be quick to turn to you and ask for peace, and you might provide it for them. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this morning. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.